Please note that this podcast contains information regarding sensitive events, including domestic violence, assault, and abuse, as well as other triggering events, such as murder. This podcast is intended for mature audiences. When Alice jumped down the rabbit hole, she immediately regretted her decision. A rabbit hole is a metaphor for something that transports someone into a troubling, surreal state or situation. Welcome to Afterglow, unveiling the Idaho cult. This podcast will take you down the deepest of rabbit holes as it unfolds. The story is so compelling, so bizarre, and so heinous, it's impossible to look the other way. Chad Daybell and Lori Ballow were dedicated in the most horrible way to an ideology that should only be fiction. Instead, their ideology put them behind bars. Join us as we explore the lives, lies, and diabolical crimes of Lori Ballow and Chad Daybell. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This is episode 18 of season 2, Serena Sharp. Now, before we get started, I just wanted to remind you all that this is a one-woman show. It's just me. I'm the editor, producer, investigator, researcher, and the audio. And it's not easy to fit in an entire podcast into my normal life. I'm a registered nurse, as I said before. I work 40 hours a week as a case manager, and I also have a side job. So this is not for profit. I'm not making money on this. This is literally for me to share all the research I've done on this case, because I started following the Lori Ballow, Chad Daybell case in January of 2020. This case didn't even start hitting the news until December of 2019. So enough of me, but if you would like to help keep the show going, those donations are so valuable to me. Also, what's very valuable to me is giving me the 5-star rating. If you've been with me this long, you appreciate this show. I'm sure you do, and I really appreciate you so much. Thank you. Also, this is now being uploaded to my YouTube channel. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. And this is April 15th, 2020. Detective Nathan Moffitt is now visiting Lori, Melanie Gibb, Jason Miles, friend Serena Sharp. She is one of the three girls that knows stuff that was going on and was part of this casting out circle of people. So that's what this episode's about. And I will go ahead and let that get started right now. Thank you again.
April 15th, 2020 at 1650 hours, Detective Moffitt at... Drive, Wheat Creek, Arizona, in regards to case number 19-83744. I'm going to be speaking with Serena Sharp.
Thank you. How's it going? Are you Serena? I'm Detective Moffa with Chandler PD. You have a couple minutes to talk?
Sure.
Okay. I'm here to talk to you about Lori Vallow.
Oh, okay.
You want to sit down or come up here? What works better for you?
I'm in a disaster because we're in the middle of like lots of projects.
I think everybody is because that's what being locked in your house does.
Yeah, it does.
It's up to you.
Okay, hold on.
Sure.
My husband
drives us too. That's fine by me.
Not
back there, but
I think most of my kids are in the back, so
bugs
are front end. Do you want to come?
Whatever you prefer.
Yeah, come on in.
I love the giant sliding glass door. That's awesome.
Hey, Adam.
How's it going?
Do you want to come join us? Yes. Please,
oh, no problem. Dining room table work?
That works. And can you remind me your name?
Detective Nathan Moffitt. I'm with Chandler Police Department.
Okay.
So.
That's your badge right there.
Yeah. I just left Christina and Nicole's house. So. Yeah. So I'm kind of.
Have a seat.
I'm kind of following up. Let me start with how you know Lori.
Okay. I met Lori through.
Just officially,
you
need me because I've never met anybody.
No. If you want to sit in, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, I just wanted to invite you in case you wanted to.
Oh, no, I
nope.
The whole thing freaks me out, so.
Nope, no problem.
You're not the only one.
No.
If you need me, I'm happy to.
Okay.
So how'd you meet Lori?
So I met Lori through some mutual friends.
Okay.
So Jason Mao is a friend of mine.
Okay.
He came out and we were living in Connecticut at the time, by the way. So
okay.
I met Jason because I needed him to be a keynote speaker for a big function that I was doing out there for like youth ages 12
okay.
to 18. For a regional event. So he came out. We got to be great friends. He just stayed with my family for that week.
Okay.
Because he had never been to New England. And he's like, you remind me of my friend named Melanie. Last name, Gibb.
Gibb.
Yeah, Melanie Gibb. And he's like, you should connect with her because we were doing a lot of the same things just in separate places.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay. So I gave her a call and we just became instant friends. And
how long, when was that about?
A year ago. Hold on a second. Look at the calendar.
Okay, so how funny, because you met Lori Soul and separate, but then Nicole has known Lori for like 10 years. So just kind of small world thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I met, let's see, this year's 2020, 2019, 2018. So this is 2018 that
okay.
I met. Jason, and then probably fall of 2018, September, is when I met Melanie over the phone.
Okay.
And then she said, you should come to Preparing a People because I've been into food storage and preparation and all that kind of stuff for years.
Okay.
And we just became friends over the phone. She's like, and I was going to stay with Jason, but she's like, no, come with me. Then we don't have to worry about drivers and, you know, because Jason... I'm not going to be alone with another man because I'm married.
Okay.
So it was just easier. And
gotcha.
She was sweet and picked me up. She's like, I'll pick you up. You don't need to rent a car. Just I'll pick you up from the airport. And so.
Was that here? The Preparing of People conference here? Okay.
Yeah. So we ended up. So I stayed with Melanie that weekend and
okay.
she drove me to a friend's house to stay. And it was Lori's house. I had never met Lori before I walked through the door or heard of her.
So you stayed at Lori's house, not at Melanie's?
Correct.
Okay. Was Melanie living here at the time, or was she in Salt Lake, or was she in Utah? So, okay.
Yeah.
But you just happened to, so you stayed at Lori's. Did Melanie stay with you guys at Lori's?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of us that stayed there, though.
Gotcha.
Do you need to know the names, or you good?
Not necessarily, unless it ties into kind of the big picture of things. I'm just trying to get a history
of it.
Dad
was there that weekend.
Okay. did he stay at Lori's also?
Yep. So that's the first time I met any or even heard of any of those people.
When would you say that was? Would you say that was 2018? Like fall of 2018?
November.
Okay.
I would say, I don't know if it's still on my agenda.
And is that when you met Chad?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so first or one of the weekends in November before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
If that's helpful.
Did Chad and Lori know each other before then?
I assumed they did.
Okay.
Like, I met everybody for the first time ever except for Jason Mao.
Okay.
So I was pretty overwhelmed that weekend with everything.
Like, okay.
I'd never been to Arizona since I was a kid and I had come to visit.
Okay.
I didn't, like, first time even meeting Melanie face to face. So.
Gotcha.
I was like, when you meet a whole bunch of people and you're the only
you're
one that's
overload.
New and everybody's like knows each other, you're just kind of wide eyed.
Okay. Yeah. So, I guess where does, so you meet everybody kind of for the first time in November of 18.
Yeah, but I'm there for the conference.
Okay.
So we go to
the And that was conference. For the Preparing of People conference.
Yep.
Okay.
And I help set, like we go early, if you need me to know like specific dates, I think I flew in on Thursday. We went to the temple Thursday night, Friday. She had people over at her house for like a morning side type thing.
Okay.
And then Friday night we went early to Preparing a People conference to help set up.
Okay.
Because Melanie's was really tight with the people running the program.
Okay. And that was your first time even becoming involved or with or seeing Preparing a People?
My first time? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we're kind of what happens from there with the relationship and your relationship with Lori and kind of all the plus involved.
So I mean they seem nice and helpful to me at the time,
knowing then that Chad was married to somebody else. Did there seem to be like an inappropriate relationship already building with them, or
that didn't even cross my mind ever?
Okay.
Not once.
Okay.
In retrospect, maybe I can see some things that, but like a car ride alone, just because I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean,
but no interaction with everybody else.
No, it was like always combined. And I had no idea other than that, like, because they were both married. So like that thought just didn't even enter.
Okay. So
call me naive, and it probably was, but I just didn't see anything. So
it's my understanding that it was right around that time that they met. So okay. I think their relationship, their friendship, or whatever you want to call it at that time, was still fairly new. So I don't think you.
Right. From my understanding, they had met at the previous.
Maybe. And maybe it was just a couple months beforehand or something like that. Yeah. But it was somewhere right around the fall of 2018 is my understanding of when they met. So when did you move down here?
Just recently.
Okay.
So, I flew out here to look for houses in July.
Okay. Had Charles already, the whole thing with Charles already happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I moved out. We moved down here. Well, I came to house hunt at the end of July. And then we moved down as a family. My kids came with me a few days later. And then I'm trying to think timeline. And then I had to fly back up, finish packing up the house. So technically, we actually closed on this house like September. Right after, or right before.
Did you stay somewhere in the interim before you moved here? Did you move directly from there to this house in September?
We stayed at an Airbnb
And
right by Queen Creek High School.
Okay.
The golf course. There's like little, there's a rental home there that we stayed in for a month.
On Las Colinas Golf Course? The golf course on Rittenhouse? Still new.
Bad at this. Ellsworth Loop.
Yeah.
If
you make the left at Ellsworth Loop,
there's a whole bunch of houses there.
Okay.
Like kind of by the high school.
Yeah.
Behind it. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what that golf course is called. Yep. So we stayed there for 1 month, and then we moved in here.
So from the time that you met, I guess, met them to the time that that you moved down here, did you have many more face-to-face interactions with Chad, Lori, and...
Just a couple.
Okay.
So I went to the Preparing of People in February in Idaho.
Okay.
And I stayed with my sister and went to Preparing of People. So stayed with my sister. We stayed in a hotel with all the Preparing of People for a couple days. My sister did not go, though.
Okay.
And then, so I saw Chad there. Lori was not there.
Okay. Lori wasn't at that conference?
No, she was not. So then we had a girls' weekend in March where I flew out here, and that's where I met Christina and Nicole.
Okay.
And we worked at their warehouse. Because I love that kind of stuff, and I've done international stuff like that on the opposite end. So I clicked with those two really fast.
Okay. My pen is working barely.
So there's a bunch of girls for that weekend.
You met Christina and Nicole then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's like a year ago, March, so just over a year ago.
Okay.
And then when I moved, and that's the second time like I had seen Lori face to face. We had some phone calls and stuff between.
Okay.
And some email interchanges and texting.
And with your interaction with Lori, I guess after this and kind of in the March and stuff, had you seen anything with the Chad, the relationship develop or progress or?
I was out in Connecticut, so I didn't and I was not like in the inner circle, if that's what you want to say.
Did you do any of the podcasts with them?
Yes.
Okay.
So when I came out in March, I did two podcasts.
Okay.
Yeah. All in one morning. It was Monday morning right before I left. So I did two podcasts. Because again, I was friends with Jason and.
Yeah. Is that about the time that Jason was doing the podcast with them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And Jason and I, again, we're friends, and that's so they wanted me to come on and talk about how I met Jason and like how it went up there when he came and spoke to the youth.
Okay. Obviously,
your second podcast right at the same time.
Okay. Are you LDS?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you ever hear or see any of the Lori and Chad and maybe some of the other groups kind of way out of left field compared to the LDS church?
Yeah, I mean, there was some stuff from the beginning, a few things that aren't like aligned with straight church doctrine that taught over the pulpit. But I wasn't concerned about anything until like that March.
Okay.
There was a couple of things like maybe there that I was a little uncomfortable with. But then afterwards, just some things that they were saying. Are you LDS?
No.
By any chance? Okay. Like, for example, she was talking about not repenting.
Okay.
And that we don't need to repent anymore. And I'm like, it says all over the Bible that we need to repent and come to God. Like, and that was a big trigger for me. They also, she kind of cut me off as well. She said that I was all sorts of stuff. I'm sure you've got all the evidence for that.
Is that when she said you were an evil spirit or dark or whatever? Okay.
Which I did not know at the time. I got really, really sick, and they told me that Zulema was going to handle like me and just help me through it. And Lori just kind of just stopped communicating with me, but never told me why. Nobody, and Zulema didn't tell me this.
When did you meet Zulema?
At the first Preparing the People in November.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we became good friends. Like pretty fast. So I saw her again at the February one.
Okay.
And we talked often. I probably talked more to her than anybody.
Okay.
But yeah, after the March one, they just said that I was afterwards like prideful and I was going to be turned evil. And I didn't know any of that though until just recently. Melanie Gibb is the one who told me that in January. So that was very hurtful to hear, but I had no idea.
I'm not LDS, but I believe in the power of prayer. And trust me when I say you don't need their prayers.
Yeah, but it was hurtful too.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't understand what was going on, and I had just met people, and I'd only met her twice, like in person, and have somebody say, like, treat you all of a sudden, you know, there's a huge flip that's been a huge switch that's been flipped, and you just don't understand why. And I thought it was because I was sick.
Okay.
And she said, like, evil spirits are like attacking you. And I did know that. She did tell me that, that she said, what'd she say, that there's a breach and that I was being indoctrinated at night. That's what she told me. I thought, oh dear. So, like, I tried to just get better and fix anything that I thought might be wrong in my life, which, you know, we've always got stuff to work on. So,
absolutely.
But then after that, she wouldn't talk to me. And I guess that's when she said I was turning evil. My husband was evil. And which so, I didn't know she said that either until Melanie told me in January.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just this past January. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Knowing now, I guess, how much of the investigation have you seen on the news or anything else like that since this has progressed?
Yeah.
And you're kind of aware of all the different things that we're investigating. Looking back on it, is there anything that you ever saw or heard that you go, oh, the police really should know that type thing, or that doesn't sit right, or, you know, I mean, it just doesn't feel right, or is there anything like that that you saw? It kind of sounds like she cut you out kind of early.
Yeah, which long like before huge protection for me. And yeah, so I only had those two contacts before I moved here. And then after I moved here, I saw her twice.
You saw Lori twice?
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
So I moved here in July.
Okay.
And it was either Zulema or Lori, and I can't remember which, said, hey, let's have a lunch. And so we met at, like, all the girls at Cafe Rio.
Costa Mica?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
So we met there for lunch, and it was weird. Okay. I could just tell things were weird.
Is that the lunch, that the girls' lunch that Alex was present on?
Yes.
Okay. Was that the first time that you met him?
No, I had met him when I met Lori the first time.
Okay.
So in November at that preparing of people, he came over.
Okay.
Once or twice.
Did you have much interaction with him? Anything that stands out about that interaction? I mean, anything? No. Okay.
No.
Anything that you ever heard that we should know? It sounds like you're kind of on the periphery.
Yeah, especially I was living definitely.
Out of state and,
thank heavens.
Right.
I was really protected, I think, through this whole thing. No, it actually made moving here harder, but we just knew we were supposed to move here. So regardless of.
It sounds like you have really good friends in Christina and Nicole. So
they are
everything amazing. Happens for a reason,
it
right?
Does. And they're amazing. And my kids, we're supposed to be here. My kids are amazing and they've had a good experience. So we're supposed to be here. It's great. It's been awesome.
So the reason that I came to be here to talk to you. Hi, Jared. I'm Nate.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I don't know if you've seen any of this in the media and stuff, but this was a thing with that Chad was sent Lori, and it the names were blocked out because I didn't know that how everybody knew each other and why. But one of these is Nicole, and one the other one is Christina, and then you, and then obviously Melanie Gibb, Jason Mao. And so, no, absolutely. It's better from the beginning, so you can kind of get where they believe your history is and where everybody else's history is. So, you know, Chad is a writer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically writing a book of their story with Chad being James and Lori being Elena.
Ah, okay. That's what James and Elena is, Chad
yes.
and Lori. Okay. Seven children and three daughters. Wow. So Lori's guardian angels. I don't recognize everybody. I do recognize, like, well, everybody's heard of Kenneth Goat. Melanie is her niece. I met her once really quick at that lunch. Gosh, Is this Christina and Nicole?
Yeah, one of them's, I don't remember which one was which, but yes.
They did tell me that.
Tell you which part?
All of this.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you know about or when that was, or?
That she told me that. I think it was March.
Okay, in March when you were down, because that one was here, right? Or mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when you came here.
Could have been before that. I don't think so, though.
But that was just for the girls' weekend type thing.
Yeah.
And not for a preparing the people conference.
Correct.
Okay.
We went to the temple, we went out to lunch, we went and worked at Gathering Humanity.
Okay.
And did service projects there. And I actually went 2 days to that.
Okay.
And just because that is my thing. So that's why I connected so well with Christina and Nicole.
Okay. So anything that you can think of, I mean, I don't know how much you've talked to, but both Christina, especially Christina, but then Nicole, in hindsight, they heard things that they're like, wow, that really didn't sit right. But sounds like you had limited contact with or no contact with Lori after March. So
no, I did. Remember I said when I moved here, I saw her twice.
Okay, yeah, Brett. The lunch.
Mm-hmm. Lunch, and then she had some girls over to her house one night.
Okay.
Just shortly after that. And I think that was in July because I was house hunting at that time.
Okay.
And it might have been the very first part of August, like right around there. It was pretty close together.
Okay.
Within a week or two.
But nothing that stood out, nothing that you heard.
It's hard to separate kind of all the media on the bus, but I'm trying to think. I was separated, obviously, by Miles, which was good, and then being ostracized as well. I think the only thing that concerned me was that March weekend when she was talking about her husband being... And this was one of the red flags I was talking about for that March.
Okay.
Her husband was now, because I had met him in November, Charles.
Okay.
And then just briefly, I was like leaving when he was coming in.
Okay.
Because I know
when
he wasn't
down
there
for the conference. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't there for most of the weekend.
Okay.
Until the end. So in March, she was saying that he had been possessed by an evil spirit. I think that's our go-to. And that it was no longer Charles, that it was somebody else inside of his body, and that they needed to get rid of, like, somehow, like, she needed to cast him, she needed help casting the evil spirit out or something like that. So, but zombie, that's what, like, it was a zombie is what they called it.
They never talked about killing the zombie though, right?
No, that's casting it out, like getting rid of the zombie, but not actually like killing his body.
Yes.
But like
removing spirit.
Yes.
Not,
that. And then, yeah. Yeah. And then somehow like removing the spirit, like Charles was already gone. So I didn't know if that meant Charles would come back or the body would die or whatever.
Okay.
But yes, removing the spirit of Ned. I think it was Ned.
Okay.
Which I thought I was a little uncomfortable with that whole thing. Like, obviously, that's a little out there, so a lot.
Anything else you could think of?
She talked to me in August, so that beginning of August, end of July, when I went to her house. She told me that night, because that's the first time I'd seen her since Charles had died, and I just asked her, like, are you okay? Like, what happened? Because I don't really like watching the news. I don't like
media,
because I don't, like,
they screw it up most of the time, but
yeah.
What did she say happened?
Like in her words?
Uh-huh. That you remember.
Okay. So she told me that Charles came to get JJ.
Okay.
From, I think it was school. And when he was picking up JJ, Tylee was there.
Okay.
And then she had Tylee take JJ out to the car. And then he picked up a bat, Charles did, but her brother Alec, is it Alec or
Alex?
Alex was there, and Alex just shot and killed him.
Okay.
And I think she said shot him twice. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shot and killed him, and it was horrible, and he came at him with the bat and hit. I think he said he hit. Charles hit Alex with the bat, and then Alex had to shoot him.
Gotcha.
So that's the story I got. But it sounds very much like that's the story she gave to police as well. So
very similar, yeah. Yeah.
She wasn't going to tell me anything. I mean, we weren't close at all, and she thought I was going to turn evil.
So. Right. Okay. Excuse me. I ran out of business cards. Okay. So I'm going to give you my desk phone number and then my email address. Okay. They have us working from home 3 out of 4 days a week. So email's best because like this is my office day and I don't think I'm back in the office until next Friday.
Okay.
So because we work 4 10-hour days and we're just kind of drawing office days. And then I also did give, I gave, both Christine and Nicole my phone number in case you lose it. I gave Nicole my email address. I forgot to give Christine it.
Okay. I can give it to her.
I'm getting promoted and going back to the road in a couple weeks, so I figure it's not worth ordering business cards.
Good for you.
So
yeah. So what Melanie told me in February, so or January, she gave me kind of the rundown of everything that happened. She said that I started asking too many questions last spring.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that Lori became cynical. Mm-hmm. I think what worked well for them is they were looking for other people that bought into their outlandish beliefs. And I think if you didn't buy in, you weren't a believer. And I had this conversation with both Christine and Nicole is all religion is based a lot on faith.
Right.
And if this is their religious views, how do you dispute or debunk it when it's their religious views?
Right.
And I think that's a lot of what this is. And they were hunting for people like Zulima, very like-minded people that would, you know, follow this.
Right. Well, and they start very much with things that are mainstream.
Yeah.
And then when you kind of like, yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe that. And then they kind of add to that. So it makes, and some of it makes sense when you like look at the scriptures. Song you've never heard of before, but like maybe.
Yeah.
But then when I got sick and started asking questions, like, and when they started talking about like repentance thing, like some things just didn't sit well. And Melanie said that when I started asking questions is when they decided that I was going to turn dark, and my husband already was. And
I think anybody who disagrees with their view is dark. And the more you disagree, the darker you are. And the more you're in your way, in their way, the darker you are. So, so can I answer your questions for you?
What is going on with the investigation? Is she in custody?
She's still in custody.
In Idaho?
Idaho.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there a hearing with that?
She has a preliminary hearing set for May 5th.
May 5th.
Yeah. I think it got delayed because of the COVID-19 and they're not gathering courts and stuff like that. I mean, it's really kind of unprecedented where we're at in the country.
Right. For sure.
I did read a thing because Idaho's had very, very few cases that they might open the state up a little bit sooner than everybody else.
Okay.
So, but last I heard it's May 5th and there's a lot of data to go on. I mean, you look at, we have the Chandler PD case. We have the Gilbert PD case. We have the Rexburg PD case, the missing kids.
Right.
You have Fremont County Sheriff's Department case for Chad's wife. So there's a, and then the FBI's have been involved in different facets. So it's a very big, big investigation. And a lot of the investigations are ongoing. So,
and do you guys kind of work together to figure this out?
We've been working together. I mean, we've been working nonstop, and FBI and Gilbert's going out tomorrow to do more interviews, and I did the three today. And
do you mind me asking, like, because you're saying Gilbert and Chandler?
Yes.
There's why?
Melanie Boudreau's husband was shot at.
in October.
Wow, that's
so gorgeous. Yeah.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. He's pulling up to his driveway, and for all practical purposes, in my opinion, Alex was waiting there in Tylee's Jeep and fired a shot at him. So, and I think we have enough. We would, if Alex hadn't passed away, we would have had enough to charge him for that already.
Really?
And a couple other different things. So, you know, we got a lot of different moving pieces on this. But so you have, you know, six different jurisdictions with, when you put everything together with the feds and stuff, that are all investigating different pieces of this, but they're all interwoven. I mean, it's all
very much
one rolling event of disaster following Chad and Lori. So
it's so upsetting and shocking that somebody who seems, because they seemed normal when I met them, just kind, like hearted, nice people who opened up their homes so that a whole bunch of people could, you know, crash there from out of state. And
yeah,
I mean,
well, my belief is
so that I actually met JJ and Tylee that weekend. So.
Yeah. My belief is they're kind of rolling after a self-fulfilling prophecy of whatever it is that they think benefits them right now. And it's just, you know, it's just kind of gross. I mean, really, with the totality of the investigation and the things that we've uncovered and stuff, it's bizarre at best.
Really?
It's just, yeah, it's one of those things. It's tragic. And at the end of the day, there's still two kids missing. And
the deaths that are like piling up are horrific.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because she has, what, two husbands?
Yeah, and I don't know.
And then he's got his wife, who's seemingly out of the blue.
Yeah.
Weeks after she moved there is what Melanie and
the news
is saying. I didn't even know she had moved.
Yeah, she moved there end of August, beginning of September. So,
and then Alex passed away. Did I assume they have a coroner's? Because I know.
Yeah, that's still pending an autopsy.
Okay.
I'm
sure there's findings, but probably not released.
It does appear that there might be an underlying. I'm saying karma got him. It does appear that there might be some underlying medical conditions. It's still pending a lot of toxicology and stuff, but there's a very good chance that Alex's could be a natural death.
Okay.
So. I'm not as convinced for everybody else. So
kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause she seemed like when I met her in November with her kids there, like she really loved her kids as far. I mean, I didn't even question that, you know?
But hypothetically, you know, if evil spirits get in the way and, you know,
and they're not her kids anymore, just like he wasn't her husband anymore.
Yeah.
And they're stopping her from doing whatever she thinks she needs to do. Yeah.
Yep.
So what about, do you mind me asking about Zulema? Like, where is she in all this? What happened to her?
She's still at her house in Gilbert, as far as I know.
Is she?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's some things that we wanted to follow up with her on. And she's retained an attorney. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we actually have a call into her attorney right now to try to do a follow-up interview on her.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
She was very much subscribed a lot to Lori and Chad's extreme views. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I do know that. Because like I said, we were close for a few months there.
Yeah.
Until I was ostracized. But.
It's a good group to get kicked out of.
Yes.
So. You're going to get kicked out of something. That's a good group to get kicked out of. I'm just saying.
I know. For sure. Do you have any questions for me? Like anything?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I know that like Christina had heard she was at Zulema's house during a prayer thing and Lori got way overboard and there were statements made. And I'm more concerned about what you know firsthand.
I wasn't there.
So, you know, at least I have some good background information and stuff. And,
yeah.
Like I said, we're just kind of following up and, clearly, JJ and Tylee aren't with you, correct?
No.
Haven't heard or seen from them in quite a while.
I wish.
You know, that's part of the thing is just making sure that that we run down any and all acquaintances.
Right.
You know, I would assume that
every normal person, when they see the national news about two kids missing, if the kids were there, they would, especially when Lori's in jail, they would go, hey, I have the kids. They're here, safe and sound. And that hasn't happened. So
I keep open, but like that is becoming more dim, huh,
yeah,
as time goes on. Do you guys have any hope that the kids are alive?
Personally, I don't. I mean, I just don't at this point. But, you know, Lori's been on the run since the day of a welfare check that she didn't know was coming, and basically left town that day and hasn't looked back. Was sitting in Hawaii, make statements to the attorney that the kids are fine, and now you're sitting in jail. If you left your kids with a reasonable, responsible adult, and you're sitting in jail for abandonment, and they truly are just with a responsible adult, once you go, all right, they're right here.
Yeah.
So, and they haven't. So I just, with that and a lot of other things that I just can't discuss, obviously because of all the pending investigations, I have very, very little hope. Slim to none and slim left town. So.
Yikes.
And that's, you know, that's me personally, but so this is my contact information.
Okay.
If you happen to think, you know, tonight, next week, whenever, like, oh man, I just forgot that I heard this or that or whatever, just follow up, just call me and leave me a voicemail or shoot me an email. And
you're looking for firsthand stuff, because like Melanie told me a lot in January, but you're not looking.
We've interviewed Melanie, myself and the Gilbert detective interviewed Melanie for a couple hours at the police department, and then they have since re-interviewed her a couple times. So if that's,
she called me after that and she said, I think I need to tell you what's going on and I need to tell you what happened to you. And so she actually apologized, which was really sweet. But
she's like, I just
felt like I need to go to the police. I'm like, yeah, you did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Holy crap.
Absolutely.
So
what is a good contact number for you? All right. Yeah, so like I said, if something comes up that you think of, just shoot me an email or give me a call.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time. I'm going to grab this.
Yep, no problem.
Everything I seem to leave out gets to the media one way or another. So the only blessing of this COVID thing is it's got this case out of the media for a little while, because it's, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Because this is a difficult case at a lot of turns. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of victims attached to it. What we want to do is accountability and
right.
Accountability and justice for the victims in the case. So,
right. And give you guys the space to figure it all out too.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice, absolutely.
That you have that time.
I had an email leaked to the media last week that was all over national, or 2 weeks ago.
On this
all
case?
Over national news. Yeah. And it was in a response to Charles had two adult sons. Their mom's been a point of contact. And I'm like, hey, look, we're still working on it. I hope to get Lori indicted. And she ran to the media with it. So you never know who's going to run to the media next with, for whatever reason. So it just makes the job more difficult.
Yeah.
So. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And that's
the kids. And
the bottom line in all of this is our job is to find the truth.
Right.
If she's done nothing wrong or if he's done nothing wrong, at the end of the day, absolutely. So, all right, you guys.
This is a big one.
Yeah. I've Nicole and Christina. I've been an officer for over 20 years. I've been in homicide for 11 and a half. This is like no case I ever see or we ever see again. It's just, it's beyond reality what the heck's going on here. So. Oh, yeah. No, it's a total major TV movie. So, thank you guys.
Or the big big screen, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Those. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, best of luck.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and if something comes up, like I said, if you remember, just give me a call.
Yeah, and vice versa. If you think of anything, just.
Absolutely. And there might be, because, like I said, I'm going to type up my interview, and then it'll go to the FBI, and there's kind of one agent that's. They're not, the FBI isn't taking the investigation, but they're helping orchestrate. You have, you know, several different agencies, so it's kind of a clearinghouse. So they might have some more information or another question they want me to ask you, okay?
Okay, that was it. I really appreciate you all. Thank you so much for being here. I will get my episodes up as fast as I can. Like I said, it's just a lot for me right now, the summer, a lot going on. My kids live a couple hours away. So when I do go visit my grandkids and my kids, I can't work on a podcast on the weekend. So have some patience. Thank you very much for those of you that have. And other people, hopefully you understand that at this point, that there's a lot going on in people's lives and this is not my full-time job. I wish it was. I would love for this to be my full-time job. I would get you guys an episode on the clock every week, like clockwork. So again, thank you, and stay safe, stay well.